Hey everyone, this is Sydney Shute from Victory Condition Gaming, and you're listening to the Victory Condition Gaming Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Victory Condition Gaming. My name is Doug. With me tonight, I've got some of my most geeky friends. Not nerdy, right? Is that what we said?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Geeks are not smart.
Okay.
So we go geeks. Nerds are smart.
We've got some of my geeky friends with me tonight. We're going to be playing Tiny Wastelands by Gallant Knight Games, GM'd by the man that designed it himself. And if you are a fan of this game and like what we're doing tonight, I'm going to tell you to check out the Kickstarter. I'll put the link to the campaign in the description below. Alan, why don't we introduce you first, and then I'll introduce the players. How about that?
Sure. My name's Alan Barr. I'm from Gallant Knight Games, the tabletop gaming company I own and run. We produce the Tiny D6 line of games, which is a minimalist RPG game line. Specifically, this one is Tiny Wastelands, a post-apocalyptic role-playing game that takes inspiration from Mad Max, Waterworld, The Six String Samurai, A Boy and His Dog, The Postman, and more. So you will find lots there, and we're on Kickstarter right now. I guess that's it.
Yeah, and you're funded, and you're going towards quite a few different... You've knocked off quite a few stretch goals. You'll be getting... you've got a few more lined up, so... There's still plenty of time to back, so please back. I do have the chat open right here as well, so if anybody has any comments while we're playing, feel free to join us in the chat. I'll try not to be too distracting with it, but I'll try to address it as the comments come up. We'll just go around the table. I'll introduce everybody, and do you have your character names?
Yes.
All right.
My name is Tristan Stevens. I picked a natural, and I named him John Smith, because nothing's more natural than that.
Wow,
that's racist.
To my left,
I'm Steve. I chose a scavenger, and I named him Scooter after the mechanic from Borderlands. Scooter.
I love it.
To my right,
hi, Marcus. I'm playing the Wanderer, and his name is the Wanderer, formerly known as Tim, or more accurately, I will draw
a symbol. you have a symbol.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's like this.
Yeah. You just call, it's fine. Tim's right. Fine.
just call me.
Yeah, just Tim.
All right. That's how this night is going to go, I think, folks. I'm Doug. I am the fixer. I am just going to be called Wheezy because evidently I've worked on machinery all my life and I've gotten all this stuff in my lungs and I'm going to talk with a wheeze.
Giving yourself a backstory.
Hey, that's what I do, man.
Hey. The water formerly known as Tim does not care for that sass.
All right. I will let folks know that this is going to be on our podcast, the VCG podcast, next week. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, feel free to subscribe. And I thank everybody for watching it and all the different formats that we're going to have this on. Woo. All right. Alan, I'm going to hand this is me handing the show over to you, sir.
Well, that's what you do anytime I'm on anyway, let's be fair.
That's true.
All right, so let's go over the base mechanics for Tiny Wastelands so everybody's on the same page about how dice rolls are going to work. So when you want to do something, you will pick up two six-sided dice. You will roll them. This is called a test. If either dice shows a 5 or a 6 on the dice, you have done the thing you set out to do. If you have advantage, you get to roll 3 dice. If you have disadvantage, you only roll 1 dice. Disadvantage overrides advantage. So if you have both, you only roll with 1 dice. All attacks do 1 damage. There are scavenging tables. You can search for stuff out there in the wild to see what you find. And if that happens, we'll dig into that, obviously. Some of you have mutations, by the way. I believe our natural has a mutation of all people.
What's your mutation?
Freaky quick reflexes. When you fail an evade test, you may retest.
Oh, nice.
You folks live in an enclave that has been established. It's about 70 years since whatever caused the word to fall happened. There's a lot of stories going around about what it is, but not a lot of specific details that people remember. You all live in a shattered enclave built in the wreckage of a flipped over aircraft carrier deposited in the mountains of Nevada via tsunamis and massive tidal surges. This enclave is known as, the town is known as Nimitz, like the aircraft carrier name, which coincidentally is what the town is named for.
Oh, okay.
Nimitz has been a bit of all the enclaves in the area. It's one of the older ones, for been about 15 years. Unfortunately, the difficulty of living in Nimitz is it's where it is in the mountains has put it on the border of a phenomenon known as the Reaping. So the center of the United States is no longer much of anything other than a radioactive atomic blasted wasteland where once stood massive fertile amber shores and waves of grain and stuff. Now scavenging bands of bloodthirsty mutants roam, committing unspeakable atrocities and horrors upon whoever they might encounter. Where Nimitz is located, it sort of sits on the peripheral end of this massive area known as the Reaping, where these tribes live. And they kind of raid out of it and around in this almost circular nomadic pattern. So, you know, once or twice a year, Nimitz has to deal with a massive amount of raiders attempting to breach the shattered aircraft carrier. So far, no raiders have been successful, but, you know, you never know. So the mayor of Nimitz, a fellow known as Longshoreman Joe, has brought the four of you in to speak with him. So you four are experienced scavengers. He sent you out a few times on various tasks. So in and of itself, this is not altogether unusual. What you do notice that is unusual is the town sheriff, who serves as sort of the captain of the guard of Nimitz, an individual known as Murder Hobo Molly, is also in the room. They look very serious. Listen, you four, Mayor Longshoreman Joe is speaking at you. We've got a bit of a problem that we need you to address quietly.
What is it?
That's how I'm going to talk because I'm wheezy.
Can someone other than Weezy talk to this guy?
What's the problem?
Well, so as you know, most of the power in the town comes from the massive diesel engines from the ship that we've sort of co-opted and we run to power the town like generators. Those engines are failing. We're low on fuel. We don't have enough fuel to power them through the Reaping, which, as you can imagine, is, you know, detrimental when our electric fences and gun emplacements will no longer work.
All right, so we'll just go out and look for more. What's the problem?
So contextually, the problem is we live in a radioactive blasted wasteland where everything's been destroyed and fuel might be scarce. But I suppose you seem to be confident that we'll find some quickly. So after 70 years, maybe there's still a nearby diesel fuel depot that will power this aircraft carrier.
So do we have any leads on anything nearby that we might be able to get to before this happens?
Well, I mean, we've spent the last 15 years scouring the wastes, so you're going to have to go a little farther than we normally go.
Is this
if you're going to have any chance of finding anything.
What does the landscape look like?
So the Nimitz is in the mountains. That's kind of where the city of Nimitz has sprung up, is upper in the mountains. It's about a day and a half down the mountains via foot to what is functionally just the desert of what used to be Nevada. Whereas right now, Nevada is hellishly hot at 120 due to the ecological destruction. It can reach temperatures of 140 or higher during the day.
And
it's not uncommon for the desert to flash freeze at night.
Do we have any type of motorized vehicle at our disposal to get us through the desert quicker?
Well, I mean, we can provide you with a BFV if you want, I suppose. It's not going to have any weapons, just armor.
That's all we need.
More importantly, what do we have available that's going to be able to protect us from the elements?
Well, we can give you a BFV. It won't have any weapons, but it will have armor.
Okay. When is the plan for us to leave?
How soon do you want to leave?
Right now.
Well, I assume you would take a couple hours to gather supplies and properly deck out the vehicle.
BFV.
Yep.
You don't talk. All right, I'm going to get you a dry erase board. You're just going to scrawl things. Because I ain't putting up with this crap.
I'm going to find an inhaler for this guy. Like, I don't care what's in it.
Can you scavenge one for me?
I will do what I can.
All right.
That'd be top priority.
I would say
this is priority number one. Yeah.
What time is it currently?
Right now, it is early in the morning.
Yeah, let's take a couple hours and gather some supplies.
Sounds good.
Okay.
What do we currently have in our inventory?
So you have a, everybody has a survivor's pack, which has basic goods to keep you alive. Like it's got a sleeping bag, lighter, belt pouch, a cracked electric lantern with 72 hours worth of charge, 50 feet of strong rope, 7 days of rations, and a poncho.
Are we already equipped with our weapons?
Yes.
So are we good?
You think we're good? We're good to go.
We good to go?
Yeah.
All right. So you guys pile into a small school bus that has had plating and insulation bolted to it. So you guys head off in your BFV.
Who's driving?
I'm going to probably say I am because I'm the fixer, unless anybody else wants to drive.
No, you should drive.
Right. So I don't... Shotgun. I get car sick.
We're headed down...
heading down the mountain.
The mountain, I guess.
Yep.
After about 6 hours of driving or so, the sun's setting in the distance. You can feel the temperature starting to drop rapidly. You come across what appears to be a small ghost town. There are several stores you could scavenge around in.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you guys want to scavenge in it?
Let's go.
Can you take a look around? What kind of stores are there?
Well, we're going to use the scavenging table.
Oh, nice. So, all right. Nice.
All right. So, who is leading the effort here, scavenging?
I'm assuming the scavenger.
I would assume that would be me, the scavenger.
I just
have excellent. Real good. Okay. So, roll a d6 for me.
That's a one. I'm awful at scavenging.
Well, you're finding
no. What did you roll?
A one.
One. Okay. So, the first store you come across in your scavenging efforts is a clothing store. Full of pre-fall clothing. You can choose to dig through the clothing store and see what you find, or you can move on.
I say we.
Yeah, we should definitely scavenge, see what we find. And plus, if it's gonna get really cold at night,
yeah, you have
layers right. are always good.
All right. So everyone, roll a d6.
Go ahead.
A four for me.
A four. All right. Roll a d6 again.
A five.
All right. You find 1d3 undershirts that are in a suitable place for you to take them.
Four.
So you have two.
So you got two
undershirts.
Two undershirts. All right. Now you get to go, Stevie. All
right. Now you're our scavenger. So yeah. When you test, you actually get to roll 3 dice and pick the one you want.
Nice.
You're going to roll all ones.
I am.
You got fours.
They have four.
So you have a four and what else?
Four, and one.
So four is the underwear table.
Yeah.
And one is the shoe table.
Oh, yeah. I'm going with shoes.
All right. Roll a d6 for me. Three. You find 1d2 hiking boots.
Oh, that's good.
Roll that and just have it.
So. One hiking boot.
One hiking boot?
We found a singular hiking boot. Its pair is missing.
Nice.
Oh, wow. All right, I'm going to go. I rolled a four as well.
That would be underwear. You find a lot of underwear.
Nice. Man,
we're rolling for the Speedos.
We're looking like the dudes from, what's that movie, Weird Science.
Two.
Sets of bras.
We come two. On. You have found 1d2 bras.
1d2?
Weird Science.
Oops. We'll roll in there. 1d2 of bras. That means I found two bras.
You get to put it on your head.
Nice.
We're
going to use them as little catapults.
Oh, two like brasiers.
All right. I rolled a five.
That is the head table for finding stuff that you can put on your head.
Three.
You find 1d2 cowboy hats.
It's a one. I have one cowboy hat and it is mine.
I have one boot. It makes it awkward to walk.
I have two brassieres.
Yeah, you do.
I have two undershirts.
All right.
I have no idea.
The items you found have a usage rating. This represents how sturdy they are. To determine the usage rating for everything you found scavenging, you roll a d6. Okay. On a one and two, you have a usage rating of one. Three and four, usage rating of two. 5 and 6, usage rating of 3.
For my undershirts. One.
Usage Eight. Rating of 1.
3.
1. 2.
Cool. So at the end, when you find stuff, you can take it back to your enclave. You can actually trade it in for resource dice, which you can spend to build new buildings in your enclave, fortify its defenses, or trade with nearby communities. There's sort of a settlement management phase. So these things you find are actually very useful there.
I found one boot, but it is a really good boot.
It's like a rhinestone.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Are we ready to move on to the next door?
Are we ready to keep, are we ready to go?
On to the next door?
You want to go to another store? Is there another store in this town?
He said there were stores.
There are several stores. What would you like to look for?
I mean, I would recommend like if there's like a sporting goods store.
Or food.
Okay. Well, conveniently enough, there is a sporting goods store. It's table. It's his own table right here.
Look at that.
Well, I should go to a store.
No problem. So you guys go into the sporting goods store. Everyone roll a D6 and tell me which one so we can see what you find.
Six.
Six. Six is the random table. Roll again to tell me what you find on the random table.
A six.
You find a fishing pole.
Nice.
Now you can roll for usage right away, remembering one and two, you know, one, two, three. So
one. Not a very good fishing pole.
Nope. It's probably been damaged.
Yeah.
All right, Scavenger, you can roll three times and take the one you want, remember?
I get to roll three. That's neat.
Six.
I rolled a six, a four, and a two.
All right, two is tennis, four is water sports, six is random.
Go six.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, we'll go six.
All right, roll again.
And I get a
four.
Four, you find wrist wraps.
Wrist wraps.
No, like the kind of the canvas boxing style wraps you would wrap around your wrist to protect it.
I'll take those.
All right, I roll a six.
Man, we are.
That's the random table.
All right. I roll a six.
You have a fishing pole.
Nice. Roll for usage. It's better.
Nice.
It's better than mine.
All right. I rolled a four.
That's one.
Okay, that is the water sports table.
And I rolled a two.
You find 1d3 Speedos.
Oh, nice!
And they're not very good Speedos. So
basically, you're going to be like the naked cowboy, right? And
you found one Speedo. Now you roll.
Oh, I found one Speedo. And it's a really good Speedo. I rolled a five.
So it has three usage. Nice. All right. So this is sort of how the scavenging tables work. There's a whole selection of these. And you can pick the one you want sort of based on the location you're in. We're going to give you guys one more scavenging chance, and I'm going to tell you where you can scavenge.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So you can choose the library. You can choose the supermarket. You can choose an army base. Or you can choose the scavenge on the wastes table, which is the waste table is a collection of really weird.
Me personally, I would say supermarket or
Should we not go for the weapons and the stuff?
Yeah.
I would assume we're going to go for the army base.
Army bases,
because they would have rations and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we'll start over here with our normal, John Smith. Roll a d6.
He's
two.
Two is the gear table. Roll a d6 again.
Man, I would have started here.
One.
You find 1d2 backpacks.
Oh, that's good.
Two.
So one backpack.
With a usage rating of?
Two.
Perfect. Then we move to our scavenger.
I rolled a six, and a three.
All right, three is the equipment table. Six is random table.
Go for random.
I'm going for random.
Okay.
Roll a d6 again.
Two.
You find 1d3 nod-on skeletal remains.
Nice.
Skeletal remains have no usage because they're just kind of there to be creepy.
Nice.
But we can possibly use that to barter.
I rolled a five there, Alan.
That is the weird shit table.
No, oh, nice.
Roll it again.
I rolled a six.
Really?
Yep.
So, okay. So you get a roll again and you get something else. So roll.
I rolled a one this time.
One. All right.
Yep.
So you find a collection of teeth that have been turned into radios.
What? A collection of teeth?
That have been turned into radios.
Are they functional radios?
No, they seem to be mostly dead at this point.
Ah, man. That would
you find Walter PPK with the words "For James" engraved on it. And yeah, you find 1D3 role-playing games.
All right. One.
You find one role-playing game.
Can you tell me what role-playing game it is?
There's not a table for that. You can just choose.
Oh, I can just say.
Go ahead. Tiny Wastelands.
Tiny Wastelands. There we go. One copy of Tiny Wastelands.
Well, based on the quality of the game, it's only got a usability rating of one, obviously. So we'll have to downgrade that. All right. And our last one is Scavenger.
I got a six.
Okay.
Six is the random table.
I got a two.
You find 1D3 videotapes.
I got videotapes.
Whoa.
I've got two videotapes.
You have no idea what's on them because you have no way to play them.
And they're really well. So obviously they have not been.
They've got a rating of three. Nice.
All right. So you have spent the last, each scavenge roll you guys do is an hour. So this has taken 3 hours.
Oh my word.
That's not bad. We came out of it with like hiking boots and straps and a
cowboy hat. I got a cowboy hat, Speedo. It's a videotape. Wants to make a movie.
As you head back to your BFV, everybody roll a perception test. This is a normal 2d6 test. If you are normal, you're perceptive, and you get three dice.
Perceptive, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Two successes, but...
A six, a five, and a four, so not too bad.
Yeah.
The rest of the thing, there you go.
Yeah.
Two threes.
I got a five, so I'm good.
Oh. Six and a five.
I am not...
Hey, what's that? Look at that bird.
All right. So everyone but our scavenger there notices the massive mutated three-headed eagle looking at you all from atop a shattered building down the road. With an ear-piercing screech and a mighty flap of its wings, it launches up into the air, streaking towards you down the road.
I'm going to get into like a defensive stance with my bow.
I'm going to take aim with my scoped rifle.
All right, so you all will get an action first. And you can, on your turn, you can do two things. Except for our scavenger who failed, who can only do one thing. So we'll just start. Somebody go. Who wants to go?
Do you want to shoot at it? Since you're the one that's got the range. Go ahead, Mr. Scoped Rifle.
So would focusing be one of my actions?
Focusing is an action.
Okay, so I'm going to focus, and then I'm going to take a shot at it.
Okay.
Now, it's your favorite. It's your mastered weapon, right?
Yes.
So you get to roll
three dice.
Perfect.
And when you focus, all you need is a 3, 4, 5, or 6.
Says 4, 5, 6.
4, 5, or 6, Alan.
Yes, but he has the marksman trait, which makes it a 3, 4, 5, or 6.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So, yeah, there's a 5 and a 4 there, so we're good.
Perfect. So, you know, krakoom, and the eagle shrieks as a bullet tears through its flesh.
Nice.
All right, next.
Can I, like, take a defensive position or something?
You can take the evade action. Every time it tries to attack you, you get to roll a d6. On a 5 or 6, it misses.
I'm going
to
do that.
Okay, so you evade. So you start ducking and covering.
Right.
I'm also going to evade, but I get another action. What else can I do? Can I Oh, no. If I focus, it doesn't help me next round, does it?
It does. You can carry focus over until you do an attack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm going to evade and focus.
Okay.
Wheezy's meditating.
I'm going to do the same thing.
All right. So the eagle comes streaking in, attempting to grab one of you. Attempting to grab John Smith, apparently. The only one who didn't evade. Mr. Smith, you need to make a save test. Roll 2d6.
1 and a 3.
All right, with a shriek, Mr. Smith is lifted off the ground and taken away by the eagle. And then John Smith there, you'll take 1 damage as his claws crush you slowly.
How big is this bird?
It could probably lift up your school bus.
How high off the ground would you say I am? Would I take falling damage if I tried to get free?
You would maybe take 1 damage.
You know what we should do? We should get in the car in the bus.
Hold on, you'll be fine. We're figuring out
The party wagon, and someone should stand on the roof, and we should like go after them with, like, you know how like in Mad Max where like they're on top of the vehicles and they're like,
all right, witness me, let's do this.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Who's on the roof?
I will be on the roof.
Nice! I'm driving, I guess.
Apparently I'm
You're sitting there holding his feet.
This is awesome. I'm just like, what? That's me. All right. Wearing my cowboy hat.
You're not like you don't have a guitar.
You're the dude warrior.
I have a baseball bat.
Hit the gas on the big FV and go. Doug, you're going to have to make a driving test. This is a 2d6 test.
That's a fail.
You're going to kill me.
All right, you need to make a save test to stay on the roof.
Oh, call me.
No, 2d6.
Go for it.
If I live, I'm going to headbutt you.
Yeah. You did.
He lived.
All right. And then Joe Smith here was attempting to break free of the claws and feet of the ferocious beast.
And does not.
I do not. I'm still.
Unfortunately, it appears to have you grabbed.
I think I want to try and shoot at the bird.
All right, go for it.
I'm just going to
smash the bird.
No. God, you're dumpy.
No.
So, Doug, try to catch it again with the drive test.
I'm holding
on. I got a 5, so yes.
All right, he gets within reach of the eagle. You could hit it with a weapon. You could try to rescue your friend.
All right. I want to hit the bird with a hammer.
Focus.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got 2 sixes. Matter anyway.
So. Yeah, you got 2 sixes. Right.
So with a crack, you smash your sledgehammer into this eagle-ding's leg. It shrieks and it drops your natural mutant friend. Natural person.
Nice.
You need to make a save test to avoid rolling in front of the bus and getting driven over.
Thump, thump. Anybody else feel that?
Can Wheezy make a driving test?
I'll allow it. Sure.
All right.
Yeah, no, we
ran him over.
All right, all things in this game do 1 damage, so you just take 1 damage.
You're like, ha-ha, uh-oh.
That's not good.
I'm tapping on the roof. Pull over.
The bird shrieks and flies off into the night, attempting to escape.
I'm gonna get off the bus and walk over to
Fumbles over here.
I'm gonna help him up. Be like, "Did you see my new hat?"
One of you is a healer, I believe.
All right.
Okay. So yeah. So
let's load him on the bus.
We'll load John Smith into the bus, and
I'm gonna roll the healer trait. Nice. Yeah, I got a 6. Heal 2 hit points.
Nice.
So we're still headed down the road, Alan.
All right. After about an hour of driving down the road, you come across an old fuel depot.
Hey, that's what we were looking for.
So I'm going
to... Party wagon slowed down. Good job, Donatello. Get it? Because he does machines.
All right.
Oh, man.
And he has a bow staff. It's like 2 for 1.
Yeah, we're going to head into the depot.
I'm gonna use the little arm thing that opens the doors.
On the bus and off the bus.
That's right.
Maybe you should stay on the bus.
Yeah.
No, actually, because, I mean, if there's other people here.
This is true. We don't want them taking our stuff.
Yeah, I don't need them stealing the bus.
And right. you can use your bow staff to, like, put it against the door.
No, he's just like... poking them as they're trying to come to the door. Stop it. Get out.
Ow.
I'm sorry. Like,
so, yeah, I guess I'm going to stay at the bus then.
I would recommend you stay at the bus. The 3 of us will go in.
Should I post...
We'll get you something nice.
Should I post up somewhere? Just, like, should I sit on top of the bus and watch?
I mean,
Because, I mean, I have a scoped rifle.
It's a building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, yep, that's a building, all right.
Sure is.
No, you're coming in with us there, Fumbles.
Okay, that's fine.
I can't talk. I missed the giant eagle somehow. I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay, so we're going in.
Captain Competent over here. How about you and I will go in together, and you take the perimeter, or you take right behind us, keeping, like, perception.
Gotcha.
All right, and I think that's how we'll transport. And all right, you have a soda or whatever.
Yeah, I'll just kick back and
hang out.
Yeah.
So who's all going in?
The 3 of us, and Wheezy's going to stay behind.
Sure. So Wheezy, I need you to make a perception test.
I passed.
All right, nothing of note. Okay, the 3 of you going on in. You guys move your way in. Is somebody taking point? Is somebody at the back? Do you have anything special you want to tell me?
I'll be at the back, which I'm assuming you're in the point.
Yeah, I'm on point.
Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of.
We're kind of in the
side by side.
Is it just a floor level? Like, is there any, like?
It's actually more like a large warehouse with a bunch of fuel tanks inside.
We're gonna check it out first, and then we're gonna bring you in.
All right.
Once we clear it out of any
wheezy.
Yeah.
You hear the grinding of something on metal. It seems to be coming from the roof of your bus. Kind of like nails on a chalkboard, a deep scraping sound.
I'm going to start the bus and start driving around a little bit, see if it stops. Okay.
So, the bus kicks on, and you hit the gas, and you realize the bus isn't moving all of a sudden.
Oh, great.
And then you look outside, kind of poke your head out the window. Okay, well, you're about 2 feet off the ground at this point.
Oh. And,
as you look above you, a massive beating pair of eagle wings is lifting the bus off the ground.
Great, guys.
Oh, yeah, because he mentioned he could pick up the bus.
So I'm gonna honk on the horn a couple times and alert my crew in trouble.
Those of you inside, the building is mostly empty. Some of the fuel tanks, if you rap on them, they sound like they're full of something. Everybody roll a perception test.
I passed.
I super passed.
I passed.
Nice. Great. You are not in this here alone. There are other people here.
Do we hear the honking?
Yes.
Because there's no way to transport gas if we don't have the party wagon.
So I say we just turn around and go right outside. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn around. We head back outside.
Gonna have to keep an eye on this door, though, because whatever's in there obviously knows that we're here, too. And he's out here blaring the horn. Pretty sure they don't hear that all the time.
How else are they going to let you know?
Yeah, we're going to turn, head back to the party wagon. I'm going to keep an eye out behind me.
And then me and Scooter over here will focus on the bus.
You guys step out of the warehouse into the parking lot road area that's overgrown with vegetation and gunk. And the bus is about 15 feet in the air, being slowly carried away by an eagle who is straining to lift it with one leg wrapped around it.
I say you need to shoot it.
I'm going to go ahead and try and shoot at it. Well, first I'm going to... Actually, no, I'm not going to...
Just shoot it twice.
I'm going to shoot it. I missed the first shot.
Skrakoom, nothing.
And now I'm going to try and shoot it again. Okay, that one hits.
So you blast it. It shrieks and drops the bus, sending the bus careening about 15 feet down to the ground. Doug, you will take two damage.
Two damage?
As you bash your head into the ceiling and then the steering wheel.
So the bird drop, is it taking off or is it coming around for us?
It's coming around.
I'm going to get out of the bus and I am going to take an evade action. He's going to come to me first because I'm like the closest thing that...
What is everybody else doing?
I don't want to get picked up again, so I'm going to try and evade.
You're not going to shoot him?
Yeah, you get two actions, right?
You have two actions.
Fine, I'm going to shoot him and then try and evade. Okay, right. I hit him.
All right, he shrieks in pain as the bullet tears through him.
Because we can eat him after.
Oh, we could eat him.
We will.
That's true.
All right, shoot him again.
Shoot him again.
Fine, I'll shoot him again.
Yeah, you did.
All right, you shoot him again. Yet another scream of pain.
Is he slowing down at all, does it appear?
Not doesn't appear to be.
He's pretty healthy.
I hate this bird.
So what are you guys doing?
Where is it headed? Is it headed back towards the bus again?
It is turning towards you all. It's kind of doing a big banking maneuver.
I'm going to focus on Vade.
Yeah, I'm going to focus on
Vade. I can't do anything until he gets close.
Very quickly, you all realize he's not coming for you. He swoops in and he grabs the bus and takes off.
Is he still in range for me to try and shoot again?
Sure, don't miss.
Oh, no.
This bus is already pretty messed up.
I hit.
All right, you hit him, and he screams in pain, and he lets the bus drop as the bird kind of starts to careen towards the ground. There's a massive explosion as the bus erupts into a giant ball of fire, and the bird comes crashing to the ground dead.
Good. Nice. I think now we need to focus on,
whatever was inside.
Let's go
first.
Back.
You got hurt.
Yeah,
I didn't get hurt.
You help him. Can I scavenge the remains of the bus?
You can try. Roll a d6.
Left.
Yeah. That's a 2.
The only thing you can recover is the slightly singed copy of Tiny Wastelands.
Oh, nice.
Well, we're going to die here. Who wants to play Tiny Wastelands?
At least part of it.
Hey, if you go back inside the warehouse, you might have a full group.
There we go. Yeah. I'm going to go over and heal Doug before we go into the warehouse and try and figure out what's going on. Or attempt to heal Doug. And fail, because I'm kind of...
He just poke him in the eye.
Hey, you okay?
No!
Is this why it hurts?
Bumbles and stabby. Right there? How about I'm coming back. How about we take formation again? We can put...
Where's he now? Is he in the middle since...
His job is to protect you.
Okay, sounds good.
He just swings the stick overhead. Make sure nobody comes near you.
Right.
So does that mean I'm in the center? Because am I in the center and there's close combat people all around me? Because yeah, I would feel safe.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Perfect.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. We're going back into the depot. And
yeah, dude, Triforce. We're doing the Triforce.
All right, so you move into the warehouse. You find yourselves confronted by about a half a dozen armed other survivors. They're wearing thick clothing and scarves around their heads and goggles. One of them steps forward and moves the goggles up and looks at you.
Who wants to be the speaker? Who wants to...
I would say me, because I'm unattached and anyone tries to persuade, intimidate, or threaten me, they have a disadvantage.
All right, so why don't you be the...
And you like to hear yourself talk, so I mean, it's Wanderer, just
formerly known as Tim. Why don't you take the lead on this?
Da-da-da-da. Get it right.
I am Nomias. Right.
Who speaks for you?
Some know me as Tim.
I see, Tim. Why have you intruded upon our domain?
Our former mission was to search for supplies to help our city or town. Enclave. That's the
word.
Yes.
We were searching for gas. Diesel. We need
diesel fuel.
Diesel, spy the depot, thought we'd check it out.
You come in here to take what belongs to us?
Well, until just now, we didn't know that it was yours.
Perhaps we can strike a bargain. I am not an unreasonable fellow.
I got this great singe copy of Tiny Wastelands.
You guys like games?
Bah, such a thing as junk. Just Ouch. Kidding, go back to Kickstarter.
Don't forget the bird.
Let me say, well, obviously, bird. I mean, we just slayed this monstrosity. I'm sure your people need food. So.
That is true. You will allow us to scavenge from this dead bird?
You can have the majority. All we ask is enough rations to last us a week. You can have everything else.
And what will you take from us in return?
Obviously, we're in need of... A vehicle. What is the bird worth to you?
You seek our gas and a vehicle. That is a hefty price. You there, Wanderer, formerly known as Tim. I do like your hat.
Give him the hat.
If you don't give him the hat.
You gotta be that guy, huh? I was like, all right, so you're saying the trade, 9/10 of the bird and the cowboy hat, you'll provide us with gas and a vehicle?
We'll provide you with one full tank of gas. He points at one of the big, like, warehouse tanks. And we will provide you with a vehicle, yes. Acceptable trade?
Give him the hat. If you don't, I will shoot you.
No, we don't have anything
else. And the week of rations.
Yeah. Well, from the bird.
From the bird.
Yes.
Yeah. 10% of the bird, a tank of gas, and a vehicle.
Deal.
Yeah. He puts his hand out. Shakes hands. My men will bring up a vehicle, and they bring up a motorcycle with a sidecar.
By providing us this motorcycle and the tank of gas, it looks like it can hold two people, and you're asking us, and as you can clearly count, because I'm assuming math hasn't been lost on the wasteland, we're in need of another vehicle. So, we are experienced in the dirty work. What can we do to trade for a motorcycle? Another vehicle.
That is a bit of a interesting question. Very well. We have a problem that perhaps you can help us out with.
If it's another flying...
It is related to the flying birds, but does not directly involve the giant flying bird. We need you to scale the nearby peak to their nests and destroy all their eggs.
We took out one. We don't know if it was the mother or the father. So more than likely, there's another one that's going to be around.
I say go big or go home. And we will not make it home.
Here's the question. How are we going to get everyone there?
We will take you there and allow you to climb it.
Fair trade. Only I request that we upgrade from this motorcycle into another wagon.
If you do this, we will give you a vehicle more suited to your group and your needs.
Let's go rock climbing. Let's
go scramble some eggs.
Let's go bird watching.
So we're going to stop there.
Wow.
Okay. That's our cliffhanger.
Very cool. Well, very awesome, Alan. What else can you tell us about Tiny Wastelands?
Sure. So one thing we didn't go into tonight was all the rules around car combat. There's an extensive rule section about modifying, upgrading, and managing vehicles, from armor plating to rocket launchers to running a full-on death race if you wanted.
Nice.
We also didn't delve into the Enclave rules, which is a settlement management system designed to represent trying to help your settlement survive in the wastelands.
Now, this project also has a deck of cards that comes with the pledges. What are those cards for?
So the Enclave deck is a specific deck of cards designed to help manage your Enclave. So the idea is that roughly every session or every two or three sessions should be a year in the life of your characters. Okay. At the start of the year, you flip the Enclave deck and it presents the GM with a problem the players can go solve, be it like a shortage of fuel at the Enclave, or, you know, the fact that maybe the raid coming to get you is double strength, or, you know, you've heard rumors of pre-fall tech that you need nearby. Sort of a kind of a, it's like an adventure prompt.
Okay, sure.
But it has a set of bonuses and consequences if the players don't achieve the goals. Sort of help manage the Enclave. And then at the end of the year, there's a set of Enclave rules that you can use.
How large is the deck going to be?
The current deck I have rules for is about 40 cards. We're going to be doing a social media promotion where anybody who tweets about Tiny Wasteland we'll get a set of 3D6.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell everybody to go check out the Kickstarter if you enjoyed all the shenanigans that happened tonight. Go make this a huge success for Alan and Gallant Knight Games. All of his projects are really well done. Has a great track record on, I can't mention that enough. He's got a great track record on Kickstarter. He's very goal-focused, very likes to stay on track. I'm going to thank Tristan, Steve, Marcus, and of course Alan for coming on tonight. That's gonna do it for us. My name is Doug. This has been Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time.